Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Women's Fittest. So I ended up taking the month of February kind of off everything. And as some of you know, I have really just taken a step back from a lot of things in the last 6 months or so, just trying to figure out what is next. I akin this to, you know, when my dad passed away, my mom had been caring for him for a long time. You know, he slowly degraded with Parkinson's, and she was able to take care of him all the way until the end. And at the end, it was very all-consuming, and hospice came in and everything. But, you know, it just really, and she had, you know, they had a very traditional marriage, and she has been taking care of my dad for a very, very long time. And it's just how they were. And so she had all this love and this nurturing that she was giving towards him, and was just trying to figure out what is next and what she was going to do. And she kind of just took a year to sit in it and organize her home. And I think that's kind of where I am. I had a lot of ideas of stuff that I wanted to do, but nothing was a sure path that I just really was looking to sprint down. And I had been doing so much to take care of Anna and just others. I feel like social media, podcasting, a lot of that, not coaching because you're getting paid, but a lot of that when you're not getting paid really is a labor of love. And I do have a passion for helping women and wanting to heal women, because I know what healing looks like and the process looks like and the joy that can come from that and just the peace that can come from that. But I also felt like I was a little bit behind financially where I should be. And so my next investment for my time was to get another job or to get more work. And so I have been looking at growing my cleaning business, and that has been working out very well for me and has given me a lot of peace. And just that's where I've just been devoting my time. And so I think that it's nice to have hobbies. And of course, we all want to help other people. And that's kind of what I do with the podcast. I always say it's a labor of love, because it's not something that, I mean, obviously, like I have to pay for all the things that go into this podcast. But one of the things also is that if I don't put out any episodes, the podcast will just drop from being heard, aside from those of you who are subscribed. And so if I want to keep it going or keep it from being stagnant even, I do have to put out an episode at least every 6 weeks or so. That's kind of how like Apple likes it, for sure. So I was like, well, it's been a minute since I put something out, and I kind of was inspired as I took time off social media and then I got back to it. And the other night I was scrolling on TikTok, and I don't know if you saw this trend that was going on about the Roman Empire and like how often men think about the Roman Empire, and everybody was like, what is the women's Roman Empire? And people were saying, like, you know, their safety, like you think about how you would get out of a safety, like a dangerous situation, or being kidnapped or serial killers, or, you know, because I don't know if the world is more dangerous, but we have definitely been sort of brainwashed in that manner to be more aware. And we just have access to more information to scare us, I guess I would say, realistically. Like, I'm not saying that there aren't potential threats all the time, and that as women, I think we are hyper-vigilant when we go out. But like, yeah, I mean, that was kind of the main one. But a pattern that I had been seeing repeatedly, and it made me so sad, was women saying that their Roman Empire is that they always wanted to be skinny. And some of them, you know, as I listened to some of the videos of them talking, saying, I'll never be this, like, I know I'll never be this. And it just got me thinking that I really wanted to address this because I know this feeling. Like, I was a chunkier girl in high school. I was an athlete, but I was never, you know, one of those girls that were, you know, the 100, 110 pound girls, who were like, that's mainly what the popular group was. And I have to preface this by saying I did grow up as a teenager in the 90s, you know, 80s, 90s. I graduated in 1994. So that time was very difficult because we were raised by, you know, our parents were very like, I actually had this conversation with my daughter. It's not that our parents didn't love us. It just, the whole communication and being heard and you respect your parents and you don't ever, not just talk back to them, but you don't question them. And I was talking with Anna about how I parented her differently than my parents did because of how I was parented. And it was very important to me that, and it still surprises me today, if I say something to my daughter and, you know, it's like, well, this is what I think about how you should go about this or whatever. Not necessarily like giving her advice if she doesn't want it, but, you know, the things that you say, safety concerns and whatnot with parenting, or just a regular conversation, it still surprises me how articulate and how much input she has, how much agency she has for herself, and that I can't rebut it. Like, it makes sense. Like, she's cognitive and thoughtful about, it makes me emotional because she's just a mentally healthy, stable human being. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I created that. And I've been trying so hard for that to be that person. And I think sometimes, I think a lot of us Gen X parents really had to set ourselves on fire and just be like, okay, maybe there's no fixing us, but we can really undo some of this generational trauma and be there for our kids and provide safe environments for them and make them feel loved and heard and all these things. And so anyways, the 90s was great, but we had a lot of this for women, this social suggestion was to be skinny. And if you weren't skinny, you wouldn't be loved. And the thing that I hate the most, and I'm going to say too, there was another like Instagram one where it was like older, women over 35, give your advice to the women under 35 or something like that. Or the younger girls ask questions for the older women. And some girl was like, will I ever be happy when I look in the mirror? And so on that note, I think that we can really, really get caught up in what we look like. And for those of us who grew up in the 90s, it was really like, it was who you were. And it sucks, right? Because so many of us have really great personalities and intelligence and so many other things to offer. And we know this about ourselves. And yet we're still focused on being skinny. So going back to this woman in particular who was saying like, well, I'll never be this. I'll never look like this. And I think, you know, the trail goes to, I will never really be happy. And I know, as somebody who has been all sizes, you know, who is really a lot bigger and then went to extremes to, and not bigger, you know, I was probably 140 pounds, not really, you know, 140 pounds is, you know, it's just average. It was average, but I felt really, really fat. Like I felt fat. And then I went to extremes with, you know, cardio and dieting and ephedra to get really, really skinny. And then I thought that would make me happy. And my point is I would always, even now, like I struggle in my own body. And I look back even a couple of years ago. Well, okay, honestly not, because after lockdown, I had gained quite a bit of weight and was too busy to really even focus on that, if I was happy or not in my body. I just didn't really, really think about it. But let's go back to like 2017, 2018. You know, those were like my still active bodybuilding, getting ready to compete years. And even then I wasn't super comfortable. And I look back and I'm like, why were you so critical of your body and what you look like? And now as I'm getting older, it's not like that, you know, my butt isn't big enough or this, it's the aging process that's going on. And, you know, skin isn't as elastic as it was, and, you know, getting wrinkles and age spots. You know, God has a sense of humor, still having acne on occasion. So I've always had a rough time with skin. Like I've always had acne problems, and I'm sure a lot of this is hormone based. You know, coming from a background of having endometriosis and very painful periods and terrible flare-ups with acne and all these things. But, you know, it's tough, right? And I feel like hindsight is 20/20, because anytime we're struggling, you look back a couple of years at that time where you quote unquote hated yourself and you're like, why? Like, look at that girl. She was really cute. She was, you know, I never felt pretty. I never felt, I have been faking it to try to get through this for a very long time. And I don't mean like, you know, like fake. I just mean like, I try to be positive with myself, because I mean, it doesn't help to just rag on yourself all the time. So I appreciate this woman's honesty, but it made me really sad, because I'm like, you know, you go through your whole life wishing you were skinny and thinking that this is going to bring you happiness, or this is the reason why somebody doesn't love you. And, you know, one, there are things that you can do about it. It takes some effort. You know, I didn't like being more overweight. So I went to extremes to change that. But, you know, eventually I found the right path to do the healthy, behaviors to create my best body. Like I will never look like, you know, insert any other person who I think has a terrific physique. You know, these girls who have these really, these bubbly butts are way more muscle than I do, even naturally way more muscle than I do. you know, it's just, my point is, and my message to this woman is that, you know, your physique does not create your happiness. And you're going to find it much more in the behaviors that you're doing in order to create your best physique. And so, well, initially I would first say therapy or counseling is always my number one go-to, to just kind of work through what things were like growing up, what your childhood was like, what were the messages that you were fed from people who loved you and cared about you. And, you know, cause I mean, like a lot of parents that I grew up with, mine were very critical. And so it was just like, you could kind of never do enough. And again, with hindsight, I was like, oh my gosh, I was a B student. I was a good student. You know, teachers really did like me. I was engaging. I was a terrific athlete. This is something that took me many years to recognize, like how incredible of a swimmer I was. You know, my last swim record, when I graduated, I had five records at a class B school. And the last one was broken. It took 22 years for it to be broken. And this is coming from somebody who didn't swim year round. Like kids do these days, they do their sports year round. You know, and we didn't have all the, I don't want to say technology, but all the knowledge and the information that a lot of coaches have now, that they incorporate other types of drills and whatnot to make their athletes even better. We didn't have all that stuff. So it was just like, and I did this all being bulimic. I had a horrible eating disorder that was exhausting. So, you know, I sometimes think like how much even better of an athlete I would have been if I was healthy, if I was fueling my body correctly, if I didn't have so much anxiety and depression and an eating disorder that I was struggling with. So, you know, a lot of us grew up in that time really struggling with our self-worth. And what this comes down to is, you know, if you're feeling unhappy and you're unhappy with your body, it's really about what you value, because you shouldn't be putting your value in your physique and what you look like, because you are more valuable than your physique. So, you know, you kind of need to be unbrainwashed from that and redirected to what is important. And it sucks, right? Because, you know, it's like you feel like pretty girls have all these options, but I don't think they do. They just, like, if you have all these options, but many of them are not ones that you would want, you really don't have more options. So anyways, and I am not one to, like, I can't assume what this woman is thinking her life would be like if she was skinny. But there are things, like, I hate to use the word skinny and fat, but I mean, these were her terms. So, you know, what I would say is, are you incorporating behaviors that are making you your healthiest self? I think the sadness comes from knowing you haven't reached your potential and not consistently putting the effort in to see where that can be. Like I said, I know what I'll never look like because I'm not willing to put in that much more effort to look like some of these people that I would maybe quote unquote be jealous of their physiques or admire their physiques. And, you know, at this point in my life, I've been training for a long time, and it would just really, really take a lot of dedication. But I have achieved the physique that I have through repetitive, healthy behavior. This has been going on for some time, and I'm like, you know what, this is probably like what I'm going to look like. And there's a lot of good that comes from that, not just self-love or lack of self-loathing. And so even if you're I hate to use the word bigger boned, but you know the type of physique that is, like, yes, you'll never be like a skinny person healthily, but, you know, are you doing the things to create a physique that you're happy with because you're using it to its fullest potential? Which, to me, I always recommend doing weight training, and this is where the internet is amazing, because YouTube and Instagram can really show you how you can achieve that. Of course, it takes time, but if you're somebody that hasn't really done weight training before, your results can expedite pretty quickly if you're doing things correctly and consistently. So, and you just get a joy out of moving your body, out of choosing healthy behavior, taking the time to take care of yourself. Like, this is something that I've always recognized, is that power of me time and spending time moving my body and taking care of my body. It does cure a lot of things. So, you know, while therapy is, you know, people always say, and I've talked about this before, that the gym is my therapy. I think therapy is its own therapy and it's necessary for a lot of people. It's useful for a lot of people because, you know, you just kind of need to know where you're coming from and where your background is and and what you value and what your goals are, because your sadness is not necessarily, like, if you're using your body the way it's designed to be used, if you're getting strong in the gym and you're building and maintaining lean muscle, that is its own, like, now you're seeing what your body can potentially become and what it can potentially do. So never underestimate the power of heavy weight training a few times a week to seriously change your life. And I don't know anyone who's gotten into weight training who said, oh, I stopped doing it because, you know, I would say if it's not working, you're not doing it right. You're probably doing reps too high. You're still in this pink dumbbell mode of like the 90s when we had those magazines, and it would just be like, I remember even seeing some later early 2000s with Nicole Wilkins, and you know, she's still holding like pink dumbbells in the you know, in the pictures or whatever. So you need to be challenging yourself. And I think this is there's another aspect of it as well. It's because when you're challenging your body in that way, it will slowly change over time. It absolutely will. But your mentality changes with that. You just recognize that you can do hard things. You can get through struggles. And, you know, and maybe you'll never be quote unquote skinny, but you will change your physique and it will be something that you created. So, you know, that's what I would say. Start by working out. If you really think like my body will never look like this, you need to nix what you expect it to look like. 'Cause no, like it'll never, like I will never look like, I don't know, any Olympian. I'll never look like Brooke Walker. I'll never look like, you know, any of those. All I will look like is my best self, my best physique. And I get to choose how much effort I put into that. And I always make sure that even maintaining, we know this, takes effort. You know, the easiest thing is just to settle yourself through the day. And the other thing about that is like working out makes you a good tired, and it's like you sleep better, you focus less on what you don't like about your body, you've moved it, it's kind of sore, like you're feeling things working, you're just more in tune, you're tired. It's a good fatigue that you're, and it kind of counters the bad fatigue of stress and other things that are going on in life. And when you're actively doing something to change your physique, you focus a little bit less on like that other people have it. Like you don't know their story either. Yes, certain people have different and better genetics for building muscle or the shape of their bodies. But I have seen some crazy transformations where people overcome genetics. So, you know, if you're sitting on your excuses and kind of, I don't want to say this girl is having a pity party, because I appreciate her braveness and her vulnerability in saying this. I know, because it could have been my video too. Like I've always not liked my body, and I've had to learn to appreciate it for what it is. And I to answer the other girl's question, are you ever happy when you look in the mirror? Well, yes. But that shouldn't be the only thing that you value. And I try very hard to think about the other qualities that I have that I contribute. And I know that, you know, a physical low self-esteem can also lead us to kind of suppressing the other gifts that we have. But like I said, when you start engaging in healthy behaviors, it does boost your self-esteem. And maybe you kind of feel like an imposter sometimes, or you're like faking it till you make it, and will I ever make it? But that's just kind of the mindset that you have to have, because it certainly doesn't help to just dwell in this negative space all the time. Like, honestly, and we know this, but it doesn't change anything. So know that your best physique is going to look uniquely like you, not like somebody else. And so you could be following somebody else's plan. And I would say any plan that is incorporating progressive overload, that is encouraging you to have good form, work your whole body, and struggle the last few reps, like, you're going to see some good results in that in 3 months, in 6 months, 9 months, a year. As long as you're, you know, doing it like 3 times a week, even 2 times a week, if you've never lifted weights before, you know. And then the other thing is not being so food focused. I heard this on another podcast where this woman was saying, you know, people that work out and then they have a treat meal or whatever, they don't worry about it because they know that they're going to keep doing the workouts, and they kind of, you know, earned it. Not that you have to earn your food, but it's not a big deal. But people who aren't working out or taking care of themselves are hyper focused on every morsel that they're putting in their mouths, feeling shame a lot of times from the choices that they're making. And that took a long time for me to work through as well. I had a very unhealthy food relationship for a long time because everything was labeled good and bad. And so my suggestion is basically threefold when you're looking at food. Count your protein. Protein is what your body needs the most, to build muscle, maintain lean tissue, to repair itself. It keeps you satiated. Like, there's all these things, all the benefits of protein. And I've talked about this before too, about 1 gram per pound of body weight or lean body mass. I don't know many women who need more than 150 grams of protein, but if you can get that in and then you portion control your other food, you know, which might look like weighing and measuring at first just to get some accuracy. Reading labels is always helpful. You know, and then listen to your body's hunger cues. So, I mean, some of you are trying to gain weight and some of you are trying to lose weight. And so I would say, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, you want to pick foods that have higher volume, like a lot more vegetables and fruits. And those are important for people that are trying to gain weight as well. But these are very filling foods. So, you know, you think about a tablespoon of oil has 120 calories, but you could probably eat 2 whole heads of broccoli and have 120 calories. Not that I would recommend that, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, certain things are going to keep you fuller longer. And if you put a little bit of oil on your broccoli, oil is very satiating and broccoli has a lot of fiber. So, you know, you get it. And I could go down into a whole rabbit hole about, eating, probably talking about things I've talked about before, but, you know, and then, and not labeling foods good and bad, saying I can't have this. What you want to decide is what your goals are. And if that means that 50% of your meals are healthy and 50% of them are not healthy, and that's how you're starting, then that's how you're starting. But it's probably better than, you know, 100% of your meals being fast food and packaged stuff and whatnot, you know. So start incorporating more fruits and vegetables. Make sure that you count your protein. But saying, I can't change my body. Your body is constantly changing all the time as we age, as we, you know, as our environment changes, as our lifestyles change. And so your body will change. It does change. You know, look back 5 years, it's not the same body. So to think that you have no agency over the physique that you can create, and ultimately your happiness, which, you know, is a choice, but you can get a lot of joy from taking good care of yourself. So, you know, will you ever not be able to focus on it? Will you be happy, like always happy? I don't know if anybody is. Like, we live in a society that demands us to be better than our potential. We are shown images all the time of near perfection. And now with, you know, AI and other things like that coming out, like, what is even real anymore? So what do you value? And I think too, when you're kind of wallowing, what do your connections look like? Do you have genuine people, like in person, who can tell you that you're valuable? I really hope that for you. Because we can get really caught up in social media thinking that this is, it's real. And I'm not saying that I haven't met wonderful people through social media, but I really, the last couple of years, have tried to just connect more with people in person, because that I know that that's real. And it is genuine. I mean, this is where you get the hugs that you need. This is where you get, you know, to look at somebody's face and watch their interaction and watch their body behavior, and all these things. Like, you don't get that from scrolling or watching somebody on social media. Like, it is not a replacement for human connection. So, yeah. So if that means you need to, like, this is part of the reason I go to the gym. Even if I'm not talking to people at the gym, I am around people and interacting with them. As you know, my job is pretty isolated. I do run into people, and I have to say, you know, I tend to stop and talk to them. I'm pretty social that way, not because I like to, but because I know I need that as a human being. We need that. I think that's another reason why I live in an apartment community. I think if I lived in a home by myself, I don't know, I would become a hoarder or a crazy bunny lady or something like that. And so, you know, we need that. And it drains me. It takes a lot from me to have an interaction with people, but I force myself to do it because it is part of what makes human beings thrive. It's like the difference between artificial sunlight and going out and like standing in the sun. So, you know, look at what your connections look like. Are kind people who value and respect you a regular part of your life? And then, you know, are you respecting yourself? That is a question that you really, really need to honestly ask. Am I respecting myself and the capabilities of my body? Because I think, you know, we all appreciate our bodies more after we've been injured or after we've been sick and we heal, because we know how precious it is to have a healthy functioning body. And when you take care of your body, you're going to look at it as more than just a package. You know, this is what moves you from point A to point B. This is what makes you feel and makes you think. It's what allows you to hug. It allows you to help other people. So your body is so much more than, you know, your butt or your biceps or your face. And, you know, the bottom line is it's all going to get old and wither away, and we're all going to die. And it's tough, right? Because I feel like even, it was only 2 or 3 years ago that I looked back and I was like, as I was working through healing my emotional eating and my poor food relationship, which was basically what it had come down to after being bulimic and anorexic and then having you know, more binge eating and emotional eating. I was like, I need normalcy, you know, and in my case in point, you know, I had this hip flexor injury that I wasn't able to train as consistently as I wanted to. And, you know, and my weight has stayed the same. Like in the past, it would have blown up because my eating would have been like, oh, I can't train. Eating is out of control. So I'm not saying it doesn't take time, but I had to look back on 40. I mean, obviously not from the moment I was born, but you know, my eating disorder, my dieting started when I was 12. And so, you know, I was 45 by the time I was like, this is like something I really need to work on and heal, 44, 45. So that's, you know, 30 years of me not liking myself and not being happy and really, really focused on my value only coming from my body. So any time is a good time to start working on that. And anything you do, any changes you make, whether they're, you know, even if they're just small, if they're consistent, it will pay off. So I don't want you to think, like, I've always wanted to be skinny, I'll never be skinny. I think the verbiage needs to change to, you know, I'm valuable now, but I have not figured out what my potential is for my body because I haven't put the effort in towards trying to reach that. And I'm going to start doing that today. So I, you know, obviously I am very much an empath, and it's funny to have feelings for people who I don't even know, and to be able to feel their pain. But I think that this is a Roman Empire for a lot of women. We all struggle with body image, some of us from different generations more than others, and you know, how we grew up, what we grew up with, it all has an impact on that. But there are things that you can do. I don't want you to think you're powerless to change, because you can change your body and you can change your mind. You can change your feelings and you can change your behaviors, all of those things. So just know how strong you are. When you're willing to be brave and start. So anyways, it's good to be back, and you know, we'll see how often I'm inspired or what happens as far as things go with the podcast. I don't want to make any promises, but I hope that everybody is doing really, really well. And yeah, and I will take the time to share when I feel like I have content that is relevant. But anyways, happy spring to you all, and I hope you have the best day. Remember that healthy looks different on everybody.